Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Steph, and this is the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast, and you're joining us during the business mini-series. So I started Don't Buy Her Flowers 8 years ago this month, and I've been talking to founders to find out more about their stories. Aside from having kids, I would say it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but also the most consuming. So I'm keen to find out how people in different industries have done it. Emma Cantrell is the CEO of children's charity First Days, based in Wokingham. Emma's idea started around wanting to redistribute kids' clothes and toys that were finished with to people who needed them. So a really nice, simple idea. Well, it sounds simple. It's not simple to do, I don't think. And now she also offers services helping people with peer support and coaching. And they've seen a huge rise in demand during COVID and now the cost of living crisis. So the reason I wanted to speak with Emma is that it struck me that she has to do everything that a business owner does, constantly raising money and looking at budgets, marketing what they do, growing and leading a team, delivering to customers, but with much higher stakes. I will give some ideas at the end of this episode of ways that Emma has said that people can help First Days. This series is sponsored by Natural Mat, an organic bed and mattress company. There's over 5 million mattresses go to landfill every year in the UK alone, and they are on a mission to stop this with their initiative called Mattress for Life. At the end of your Natural Mat mattress lifespan, you can choose to refurbish, recycle, or donate your mattress. You can learn more about this by visiting naturalmat.co.uk or visiting their showrooms in London, the Cotswolds, or Devon. And an exclusive offer for this podcast: if you use the code DBHF15, you can get 15% off your first order, and that's valid up until the 31st of January. So I've known Emma for a while, and back in 2020, Don't Buy Her Flowers donated £12,000 over 3 months at the beginning of the pandemic. We were meant to partner with them for a month, and then as things got worse for lots of people in the country, we found that Don't Buy Her Flowers was really booming. So it felt like the right thing to do, and the work that Emma does is just incredible for helping families who really need it. And at the moment, almost off the back of that pandemic, we've gone into another particularly difficult time for everyone, and that's what we started out with the conversation on.
It's not fun at the moment, is it?
It's not. We're just so busy. And I mean, I think as a charity, in similar to business, we're in this situation where we're just not making enough money. But also the demand for our service is so high, so I can't cut back on what we're delivering. I just have to try and, you know, find a magic money tree from somewhere. So it's quite stressful.
So if we start by explaining what you do at First Days, you started in 2013, right?
Yeah, that's right. So when I started the charity, there was no such thing as a baby bank in the UK. You know, there wasn't this huge, huge demand for people who couldn't afford baby stuff and things for their children. But I knew, because I've always worked with vulnerable families, I knew that there was a level of need. So I started the charity. I had a toddler. She was 22 months old and my son was 10 weeks old. Thought, what a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a really good idea. That is the perfect timing for starting anything.
Exactly, exactly. So I applied for a grant thinking no one's going to give this crazy hormonal new mum money to start a charity. And then they did. And I will live forever with this vivid memory of being on the sofa feeding my son, a son across my lap feeding him, laptop on my knee and Googling, how do you start a charity? How do you build a website? You know, all this stuff. So it was proper, like, you know, kitchen table stuff. Mm. And we really did start just taking in baby stuff and giving it to people who I knew needed it. people do want to help other people. And there's something really magical about giving stuff and knowing that it's going to stay in your community and go to someone who really desperately needs it. Mm. And as we've grown and evolved over the last 10 years, we still do the baby stuff, but we've moved a lot more into things that are much more expensive. So school uniforms, especially secondary school uniforms, and beds, and those things that if you don't have them, it's beyond a lot of people's means to get them. Mm-hmm. And we've also added in, we do one-to-one coaching with families to try and help them find routes through their financial difficulties or whatever problems are, you know, parenting, emotional problems, all those things that are in their lives. So we have coaches now, and we do a lot of peer support as well. So we just get lots of people together and connect them up and build communities.
On your website, you've got like case studies effectively. And I think something that you talk about quite a lot is that people have an assumption of the kinds of people who will need your help or the kinds of people who are in poverty. And just going through the case studies, say there's five there, it's someone who's escaped domestic violence and needs to kind of set up home, or it's somebody who has both parents have lost their job, or a single parent and they've lost their job. And so they're suddenly, their circumstances are completely changed and there isn't support, because I guess they're not at the very, very, very worst point in that somebody somewhere where you would hope, and I know it doesn't always happen, but in social services or within government systems is picking them up. So they're kind of just this whole massive area of people that doesn't have anyone to direct them to what they could be doing or should be doing, or is there any help, or is there any finance, or all that stuff.
You've hit the nail on the head, because people come to us and the first thing they say is, I need help, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what I need. And what we are desperate for, and the way we have designed what we do, is that we reach people before they hit that rock bottom crisis point, mm-hmm. before social services might need to get involved, before statutory mental health services might need to get involved, to try and catch people before they fall further into that overwhelm. And, you know, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you can't see what the solution is to your problem. Because once you've got all those services involved, not only is it really expensive for us as taxpayers to have social services and all of those things involved, but it's really damaging for families to have got to that point where they're that desperate that they're needing all this intervention. So yeah, it's just trying to get to people. And it's people who work, it's people who have had awful things happen. I spoke to a dad last week, who is a single dad because his wife died. His wife died at the beginning of the pandemic. She had had cancer for a number of years. She died. And the week after she died, all of the benefits that they had been living on due to her illness were stopped. He had stopped working in his business. He's self-employed in order to care for his dying wife. Mm-hmm. He couldn't build up his business again because we'd just entered a pandemic. So he was absolutely stuck. Mm. And it's people like that who we can, you know, we have the expert knowledge of what support is out there. We can talk to the right people to make sure that other benefits are put in place. All of those things that someone needs when they're in that crisis situation. And, you know, that's a guy with a family home, with a business, who's grieving. You know, it's hideous.
So much. Situations. And is there a massive, it's probably a stupid question, a massive part of your job and everyone on your team's job must be that emotional support, because the people coming to you, presumably, I know you talk about wanting to give people choice, because they're full of shame, they're full of, they're feeling judged, like all this stuff that's also going on that must be a huge part of your role.
Brutally, absolutely. So the one thing we want people to feel is that A, they can come to us and then it's not going to be judgment. There's no shame. There's no having to air your dirty laundry. We're not going to ask intrusive questions. Because actually my view is that if someone approaches a charity to ask for help, they need help. Let's get you the help and let's work out, you know, maybe why that is later or not. And it is all about trying to break down that stigma of asking for help is absolutely fine. And, you know, we talk a lot about it's okay not to be okay when it comes to mental health, but actually it's okay to be struggling financially. It's more than likely to be things that are way out of your control that have got you into that situation. And it's okay just to put your hand up and say, I'm not coping. And what help can I get? And it's like everything, it's much better to get help earlier. So yeah, the emotional support we offer is the crucial thing to make people feel dignified, to give them back some control over their lives, because that's what's taken away from you when you're struggling financially, is choice and control and dignity and all those things. So yeah, we do a lot to try and restore that to people.
So I think like an example is at Christmas, rather than, oh, here's some presents and we're going to dish them out to kids, it's like, is it that parents or carers could come in to your place and pick it, so it's like shopping.
Totally.
And you guys support them in that, rather than here's a bag of stuff that your kid probably won't even like, or they hate Bluey or whatever.
And do you know what? The reason we did that was because we used to give out a bag of toys. And, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you've got a 9-year-old girl, here's your toys.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. And I looked in one of the bags that was for, I think it was a 9-year-old girl, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that my daughter wouldn't want anything in that bag. Mm. If that's all she was 9 at the time. And if that's all I have to give her, I feel like a crap mum. I have not given.
Oh, that's really hit me. That's really made me feel emotional.
Yeah.
Of course. Because also you say really, really well, like, I'm sorry, I've been reading about you, listening to you in lots of places, but you say really well that, like, about the choice thing, but also that you've never actually met, like, let's say mums, or a parent who doesn't want the best for their kid. So absolutely. These aren't people who are just completely failing at being a parent. There's lots of reasons why. It's not because they're just crap.
Totally. And it's, I can honestly say, every, you know, parents come to us with all sorts of different background, history, problems going on right now in their lives, but all they want is the best for their children. And it absolutely sucks to not be able to buy your kids Christmas presents. Mm.
And the reason I wanted to talk to you for this kind of business series was that it's really clear to me, just from conversations I've had with you, but also what you're very honest about how tough it can be, which I think is something that business leaders and owners are rubbish at quite often, because we're trying to pretend everything's fine. And it's not, because it's really hard. But I think, like, in all the ways that a business owner has to run, you've got to make sure that you've got, as you mentioned, finance and money, and your team are okay, and you've got, you know, a place that you all work from, and that it's clean and tidy, and then you're supporting all your clients and all the people that are coming to you. And that is exactly what someone who's running a business has to do, except for that the stakes are really high, because you're talking about people's lives. I run a gift business, you're not talking about something which must be difficult, right?
It is difficult, no doubt about it. And it makes me so cross that people aren't honest about how difficult these things are, because it's hugely rewarding, but it is really, really difficult. And I think as a charity, you have to run as a business. So I am trying to make a profit. It's just that I'm making a profit by fundraising, and I'm using that profit to help families. So, you know, it's still a sales job. I'm still constantly trying to sell the concept and the organization to people who are willing to buy into it. And then, you know, the output is the support for people. But it's all the same things. It's keeping, you know, a roof over our heads, as you say, keeping the team happy and safe. It's all of those things. And, you know, all those things that, as a founder of something, you don't know how to do it. I don't know. I mean, I can remember the phone ringing, and where before I had a kind of bigger team, can I speak to your marketing department? Well, that's me.
Did you put on a different voice and put them through? Like, we used to joke about that. Like, sure, yeah, I'll just get them for you. Hello. Yeah.
Exactly. People, and I think when you are then really good at, and I would imagine, Steph, that you had the same thing. When you are good at your marketing and you're good at putting yourself out there, people presume there's like this huge team behind you, and you're like, oh, it's just me and half of one other person right now, you know. And until you get to that point where you do have a bit of a team, there is an expectation that you're going to be able to deliver on things and be quick and that you know what you're doing. And I think one of the biggest myths is that anyone who's running a business really knows what they're doing at the point in time, because you know how to do what you did 3 years ago now, because you did it 3 years ago and you learned from your mistakes.
Yeah.
But you're not 3 years ago now, you're in this moment, which is new.
That's so spot on. And it's like, I always go, well, we're learning, aren't we, to the team, because we're trying to put a good spin on it. Because it's like, it's always like COVID for you had that. And then obviously the cost of living crisis and everything that's going on now, and the uncertainty, which must be having a huge impact. And there'll be something else next year, next month. And that is, I think, one of the toughest things, because you're never done. You're never done if you run a business, and you're definitely never done if you run a charity like yours.
I think that's exactly it. And I think that's the big myth. And I spend time mentoring people who are starting new organizations, and they say things to me like, when will it get easier? And it's really difficult not to say, well, never, because what you're doing now will appear easy to you in a few months' time when you look back and think, how did I find that so difficult? Mm-hmm. But what you'll be dealing with in that moment will be hard if you are growing and evolving and, you know, taking risks and doing all those things that you need to do to grow a business or grow an organization. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be easy, unfortunately. And it always comes as a shock to people when I say that.
Have you got better at compartmentalizing? Like, how do you not park it? Because I know you never can, but you must have to be able to some degree, because otherwise you'd go insane.
Totally. I feel like actually in the last couple of years, and maybe the pandemic forced it because it was so intense, I feel like I've matured into, you know, I can almost see the 10 years as being a newborn baby and then being a toddler and being a teenager. And now I feel like, okay, we're in a kind of adult situation here where I can have some perspective of, we just can't do all those things. Yes, that would be amazing to do, but it's not something that is in the plans right now. Or, you know, and also dealing with disappointments, dealing with when people let you down and when, you know, things happen that are disappointing, when plans don't work out, when projects don't work, you know, because that happens. I think I've got a lot better at dealing with that. And I was saying to you before, I've got into the habit of working every evening at the moment, but, you know, it's half term and how do you find enough hours in the day when you have children and all of those things. But actually, I am very good at stopping and giving myself time off now.
And is that something you're better at now than you were at the beginning?
Definitely much better at it, but I think I have different expectations. So I really just make the most of the time I've got. So I think I used to feel like, well, I can't possibly have 2 days off at the weekend, so I just won't have any time off. I'll just work through. Whereas now, actually, I feel really in control. If I need to do a little bit of work at the weekend, I've also done something really cool with the kids or gone out for a night out, or I've done a really good run that it's made me feel great. And I think I've just become a lot better at making the most of my time. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, things happen that put life into perspective, don't they? One of my grandparents is terminally ill, is very, very poorly at the moment. And I can think I've got a busy day and I'm full, you know, my diary's jammed. And then I'll get a call from my grandmother, can you come and help? And of course, drop everything. Mm-hmm. No, my diary's not full at all. And I think it's about having that perspective and giving yourself permission to say, actually, it's absolutely fine to cancel something. The charity's not going to fail if I don't go to that meeting or if I don't meet with that donor. You know, everyone's a human and they will understand. And I think, you know, 10 years on, I treat myself a lot nicer.
I mean, you made the reference about it being like motherhood, but it is in that, like reading things that people have written or reading things that I've written when I had new babies and how I felt and the absolute torture I put on myself of anything that went wrong, and thinking of the early days of the business of if, say, we had a delivery and the courier messed up and something went wrong, it was so personal. And that is like motherhood, that it's so personal, that how you sort of berate yourself. Whereas I guess by the time you're 10 years in, you're like, I can't live like that. Every kind of event or every time something goes wrong. And also, I suppose maybe once you've survived some of those things going wrong, you go, okay, no one, it wasn't the end of the world. Like, it wasn't. Yeah. And you mentioned about having children. So how do you juggle it all? Because I think I've seen criticism of when women are asked this, but the fact is, and I know you're a single mum, so the fact is, women do still juggle it all. So I think it's remiss to not ask the question, because then you're kind of ignoring the fact that we do seem to do a lot of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so my ex-husband is really involved in the children's lives. So that's fantastic. So they've got tons of loving parents and family members around them, which we're really, really lucky to have. He's very hands-on and that's great. But as you say, the mental load falls often to mum, and he doesn't live in the same town as us. So, you know, in terms of the kids' schooling and all of that, I'm responsible for it all day to day. And it's a lot, but my children they've almost grown up with it. So they don't know any different. It's not like I went from a job where I could close my laptop at 5 p.m. and here they were. They are used to me in and out, around and about. They're used to coming with me. I mean, Christmas presents have started arriving at the warehouse, and Joni and Wilbur were saying, right, when are we going to take them out of the boxes and put them on the shelves? You know, that's there. They see it as part of what they do.
And I suppose that has a positive to it, in that, like, they come from a loving home with family around them where you do have enough money, but they then have this insight into people who don't. I mean, like, I grew up, my parents fostered and adopted, so it gives you an insight that most people don't have if they live in that bubble, because you are in a bubble.
Totally, absolutely. And I think you can't underestimate that in terms of how it will shape and mould them and how they will think and act as adults. So taking them along to work with me when I need to, I think is really, really good for them. It's definitely hard work. I mean, my house isn't clean. There's things that fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's that old thing, isn't it, that it does take a village, and what your village looks like will be different, but we just get by and we work it out as we go along.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
My youngest, Frank, dropped him off at his half term, and I dropped him off at holiday camp this morning. And he was like, why do you have to work, Mum? And you just have that, like, ugh, feeling. And I did turn to Doug and say, I said to him about it, and he was like, you can't feel guilty. Like, you're trying to run a business. There is loads of difficulty at the moment with finances and all that stuff. You've got a team that you're responsible for. Like, don't take it on. And he doesn't take it on.
No.
To be honest, he's like, he's fine. He's gone to holiday camp. He'll have a great day. He's got a packed lunch. He was very, very, this is his first time with a packed lunch. He was giddy about his packed lunch. So that's okay. But yes, it's when you're doing something like you're doing that does have that even more meaning behind it, I think that's, yeah, you have to hold on to that, I guess, without making it something to beat yourself up about of how you have to do more.
Yeah, and I'm very protective of my time. I don't take much holiday, but when I do, I have to literally delete the emails from my phone.
Oh, yeah, same.
I have to leave the work WhatsApp group for a week. Because I can't, muting it doesn't work. I have to physically leave it.
No, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Because I think, again, everyone's different. So you have to work out what it is that you need to do to keep yourself kind of level on all this stuff. But having those breaks is also really important. I don't think you can go into any of this and think, I won't have a holiday anymore, or I don't need a holiday anymore. Because also you're not at your best if you're totally strung out. What does give you like the biggest buzz?
It's cliched and it's a bit Miss World, but it is helping people. You know, we have loads of contact with the families we support, and I sometimes forget the difference that we make, because when you're involved in it and you see, right, we've supported 100 people today. Okay, cool. They're numbers on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. But when you then have one of those people tell you the difference that your organization has made in their life, it's just so humbling and it's just mind-blowing. And it's incredible to think that the organization that I'm running is making a difference in people's lives, you know, and you must have that as well. The gifts that people are receiving are bringing them joy. You're giving joy to people every single day.
But it is really easy to forget. Like I've been doing something recently, speaking to customers and doing like a one-to-one on Zoom. And then we'll probably do something with it because they're basically saying stuff that we would write as a marketing script, you know, like the way that they talk. But I spoke to someone yesterday who'd been really, really poorly, and she'd become a customer after receiving a box, and she talked about how it made her feel. And like, I don't do what you do, and I'm not trying to suggest in any way that I do, but for what I do, then having that conversation, it kind of was like, oh, I need to remember this. You know, I need to remember that there's a goodness there that otherwise does become about numbers on paper, mm-hmm. keeping going, managing a team, all that other stuff, that it isn't why I set it up.
Totally. And I've got some of our best marketing ideas from speaking directly to the families we work with. And it reminds me of the guy who's the CEO of Timpsons, who is, you know, just a legend generally. But he said that one of his top tips for running a business was that you take care of everything at the very top. So you're, you know, your top line finance and governance, and you have a real keen interest on the shop floor. And then you trust that everything in between will happen. And, you know, so if you've got good structures in place and you've got good governance and you've got financially feeling sound, then everything else will happen as long as your shop floor is looking exactly how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I need to speak to the families we support and find out that they are getting the support exactly how I know they should be getting it. Mm-hmm. And if they're getting that, and I know that at the top, I'm making sure everything's ticking over, I can trust everyone else to deliver on all the rest of it. And I found that whole concept really liberating. And that's what made me spend more time with the families. Like, let's make sure that I'm definitely delivering what I'm writing in funding bids that I'm delivering here.
Well, yeah, and you can't possibly have that level of communication with all of your team all of the time to ensure that they're... So then I guess hearing it from the kind of front end, you can work back if there's anything missed, right? So that sounds, what do we need to do as a team to fix this that's not quite happening as it should? Mm-hmm. And which bit do you hate the most with your role?
I'm just... managing people has got to be one of the hardest things. Managing a team.
Yes, sister, I hear you. Even though you have lovely people, it's
And even though they're all brilliant and, you know, some of them are good friends of mine and, you know, all of those things, it's just so hard. And I think that I've tried to get away from it. I've tried to, you know, not be anyone's manager or anything, but actually when you're leading, you're everyone. You know, you have to be. And it is really hard. And I've really struggled with feeling like I'm constantly getting that bit wrong.
I think as well, you start on your own. And you don't have to worry about other people. And then you gradually add people in. And when it's a couple of people, it's that you've got it's such a small team that and then suddenly there's more people and there's more roles and there's higher expectation and your responsibility's bigger.
Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, that and communication within the team are the two things that are so, so important and are so, so easily go wrong and are, you know, that everyone's a person at the end of the day with different things going on, and they bring different things from home and from their life into the office. And it's one of those things. It's like, and you know, we are a close team. So, and I really, really, as we grow, want to maintain that family feeling. And it's such a cliched and overused thing, but we give so much to families we support that we need to love each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to be compassionate and kind and all pulling in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And all those words are great, but you know, on a rainy Monday morning where someone's pissed off with someone else for doing something, it's hard.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. And what's next?
I really want to grow the coaching side of the support we give to families because it's a real game changer. It's building this extra layer of support that means that when someone needs us in a crisis, that crisis doesn't become a long-term ongoing reliance on the organization. It really is, let us help you in this moment and let us help you get into a situation where you don't need any charity support again, because who does want that? You know, let's get people out of that situation. Connecting people, building those communities and supporting people longer term. So no one needs charities like this anymore.
Huge thanks to Emma for chatting with me, and also to Natural Map for sponsoring this episode and series. We asked Emma for ways to support first days so that we could share them on here. She told us that where demand for the services has doubled, funding has not. So if you can afford to spare any money at all, now is the time that charities like First Days need it more than ever. There's a link to donate in the notes for this episode, or if you want to support a charity in your area, just visit your council website and look for the charities they're working with during this cost of living crisis. You can also buy a toy off their Christmas wish list, so we've included a link for that. And if you can't donate or buy anything, you can still support just sharing their posts, liking on social media, telling other people. It all really helps. And thank you so much for listening. We will be back again tomorrow with another business guest. Subscribe if you want to get a notification when new episodes go live. And as always, we would really love a review. I know I say it every time, but go on. It would be great to hear from you. Thanks very much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.